The white one is the way.
What is the way, no?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean any good.
Well, what's the question?
Yeah.
I'll give you my number and you just call me if you can't find one out. No, tomorrow night can't give class. So what? Wait, how much? Are you over 18? Yeah. Do you have a photo ID? Yeah. Okay, so can you, are you available tomorrow night? Do you have a key? Good.
Okay.
Can you bring two guys over?
It doesn't really matter. There's just a photo ID.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I know you have a photo ID.
Don't worry, Ron. This will eventually turn into a share.
I do. I believe you. Doesn't matter. I need three people to be witnesses tomorrow night. 10:15 in my house.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so you find a third person, you need a third person. Everybody is going to the wedding, right? You don't have photo ID.
I think we'll go to the wedding now.
Alright, I'll find a third person. Okay, so,
Remember the lizard thing? You're still doing the lizard
thing? Yeah, I have actually been doing it quite often. Not all the time, but yes.
Okay.
We're making progress.
You said to make the money.
It's good, yes. Okay, so we,
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Are you gonna come?
I'll see you for class.
No class on Thursday, not giving class.
Oh.
Thank
you.
So, we are on page 9. And, we said that, Gideon had tough words for the Malach yesterday, and that was one of the possible merits which he had, that the fact that he was willing to stand up to a Malach and complain about the fact that the Jews are being oppressed. And in Pasuk Yud-Dalet, on page 9, it says, Vayikin Elav Hashem, Hashem turned to Gideon, Vayomer, he said, Lech b'kochacho zeh, go with this strength of yours, which was either the fact that he had the courage to go out and thresh the grain, or that he had the temerity to berate the Malach, or because he was Mekayim Kibud Av V'Eim by threshing the grain. One of these things, go with this Kol Hashatas Yisrael Mekaf Midian, and you're going to redeem the Jews from the hands of Midian. Halo Shlachticha, have I not sent you? Now, this seems not to be a nevuah, because the Rambam writes that in the Mor Nevuchim that Gideon was not a Navi. He's not listed as one of the Nevi'im. So what does he mean, and God turned to him?
In dream.
Whoa, that's a dream. You only have those dreams if you're a Navi.
But there's more than one level of prophecy, according to the Rambam, you're asking the study in front, there's like there's like Moshe Rabbeinu Nebuah, then like everybody else is Nebuah, and then there's like, I'd assume just beneath that is like stuff like a dreamlike state that's not necessarily Nebuah. I mean, isn't that the way it works?
I think a dreamlike state is the definition of Nebuah, it's like
but
a trance.
But it's possible to get a message.
No. If you get a message and it's not attributed directly to Hashem, that's one thing, but it says, Vayifein Olav Hashem, God turns to him. But Ruach HaKodesh is not an explicit statement.
Then how is that in the
Sorry?
Yeah, if you have like Nebuah, it's the level of
Nebuah. Ruach HaKodesh is an inspiration which you receive, which is a divine inspiration, but it's not a message. A Nebuah is a message, right? The message comes to you and in a dream or a trance, a vision. So here it would seem that if you get a message from Hashem, says Hashem turns him and said, you know, so it would seem that this actually was a form of nevuah. So what I write here, I don't like what I write here. What I write here is that it's possible that
I think it's
okay. What?
I think that's just
okay. Okay, great. It's possible to say that when Hashem relates to a person through a malach, that's not really considered nevuah. But that's not true. I think that's baloney. So, see, I criticize my own self, too.
Is there going to be some Pano on this?
Yeah, there should be. Why not get enough money?
It's an English one you have, right?
No, it is.
So, you have a big issue. It's in English on lulu.com, yeah?
Yeah. I wrote, but that's not true, because there are lots of times when malachim appear to people, which is clearly a nevuah. But it's possible to say that it depends how the malach appears to you. Maybe that's what I meant to say. In other words, by Yiftach, for example, I'm not by Yiftach, but when by the parents of Shimshon, later in Shoftim, so the Malach appears to them, even though they weren't prophets. But the Malach took on a human form. So it's possible in a Malach, and also the same thing was true, not according to Rambam, but according to the other opinions, in Sodom, when the Malachim came to destroy Sodom. So if you don't hold like the Rambam holds the Malach can't really take on human form, it's only a vision. If you hold like the Ramban and others who hold that a Malach takes on human form, so when a malach appears to you in a vision, that is a form of prophecy. When a malach appears to you in reality, even though he's not even though he's bringing you the word of Hashem, that's not considered to be a nevuah. And therefore, any person can see it, not just a person who's a Navi. The idea of having a vision is a nevuah, but the idea of having communication, not necessarily a nevuah. But what I would write today, where I to rewrite this, would be that it doesn't say here that Hashem spoke to him. It says God turned to him and said. It doesn't say that Gideon heard this. In other words, Hashem, at this point, was bestowing a unique capacity on Gideon to go save the Jews. But Gideon didn't necessarily hear this. I'm assuming he felt it, but he didn't necessarily hear it. He said. Okay, as far as he's concerned, he's still speaking. He's still speaking to the Malach, and that this is something which was not directly stated to him. Okay, now I want to clarify that a bit. You know, in the Gemara, it very often brings down the concept of a basco. A basco is a voice which comes out from heaven. Now, that voice which comes out from heaven is not a prophecy. According to Reb Tzadok, it has a bas kol. Usually, it's not even a voice which can be heard by a voice which comes down from heaven, but it's a message which you get internally. But according to the standard understanding of a bas kol, it's a voice which comes out from heaven, and it's not a vision, it's just a voice. And it's clearly not the voice of Hashem himself, whatever that would mean, because we know only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have that type of prophecy where Hashem himself spoke to him. Right. So therefore, it must be that a bas kol is a lower level of communication. It's a voice which is generated by the will of God, but it's not God himself. Again, I don't know how it works.
How does the person know if he's not hearing things, but he's friendly, maybe that's also a bas
kol. What?
Yeah,
that's why it confirms it really only if a lot of people are hearing the same thing at the same time.
Uh-huh. And what about his daughter?
Your daughter, but it means it's like an echo.
An echo.
An echo is a daughter of a voice. So this is an echo.
Only hear an echo form.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily, but it's not a direct voice. That's what I think that's what it's saying. Is that what you were saying? Okay, that's what you're saying. And an echo means where it's not the direct voice. This also is not the direct voice of Hashem. Just like an echo is a reflection of a voice, this is a reflection of the voice of Hashem. You know, what it's like, you know, there's a big shaila in halacha, whether you can be yotzei, and brachos, and shofar, and megillah, and stuff like that, through a microphone.
Mm.
Right, you guys familiar with that shaila?
We had that in some of the UK.
Right, so we can't be able to do the shofar because it's an echo, right? An echo is not the voice of the person himself. It's not the voice of the shofar, the sound of the shofar itself. So the same thing is true, according to most poskim, with electronic reproduction.
Right.
Even though it's simultaneous, it's the instantaneous, I mean, with the speech, and it sounds exactly like the person sounds, because it's being produced by a speaker, it's not considered to be the voice of the person or the sound of the shofar, according to most poskim. Not everybody, but most poskim, and therefore you're not yotzei. So the bas kol is somehow like that speaker making that voice, not Hashem himself. Hashem speaking to the mic in some way, shape, or form. But this is the speaker is what's producing the sound.
Same thing like Kol Isha?
What?
Kol Isha,
if you don't know what she looks like, you can hear it, whether it's through the microphone or not. If you do know what she looks like, you can't listen to it even if it's on a microphone.
So in the New York subway, and there's like a lady singing there.
So the Rishonim had this problem. What are you supposed to do when women sing?
Yeah.
They say you should try and avoid it. You know, you can't always avoid it, but you should try and avoid it.
Why is being a girl say like the drawing mother?
Because the Gemara says you only have desire for that which your eyes see.
What if she's dead?
So if she doesn't matter. So if she if you saw her, her voice provokes her memory. In your mind, and then you can have thoughts about her in your mind while you're hearing the music. Didn't we go through this recently? Didn't we talk about this recently? I keep getting confused when I speak about here, when I speak in MCA. What were you about to ask? No. No, because some people have a thing for ugly women too.
So
or perhaps only for ugly women. What?
So the guy who has a thing for ugly women, maybe he shouldn't have a ugly woman.
Yeah, but we don't know exactly. We don't know you, and you don't know yourself. And we suspect you might be fooling yourself.
So
therefore, we just make a blanket decree. What do you mean, not fair? Since when is it fair?
Why does it have an
It does. The Ritva says, the Ritva at the end of Kiddushin says that these halachas differ from person to person. So, but the Ritva says that people who have less of a Yetzirah can be more lenient in these laws. But I'm saying that, with all due respect to the Ritva, was a Rishon. I don't trust any of you. Or myself.
No.
So you're right in theory, but I don't think in practice.
Okay, well, I mean, not just in this subject, but pretty much in anything else. This one thing I always had a problem with is the entire idea of a brachot. If you eat something that's ordinarily eaten by everybody else cooked, and you eat it raw, and you're fine with that, the brachot is changed somehow. I can never get over this. Like, everyone else I eat onions raw. I love raw onions. Everyone else would think that's like, oh, how do you eat that? You can't make an argument out of the month.
I think that's a very powerful message, which is that you, even in terms of brachos, Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. Even though you think a bracha is a highly personal thing, it's not. It really belongs to Klal Yisrael. Your brachos are not your own brachos. Isn't that a beautiful message?
It was not a
dogma. What? I just made it up, but I think it's good. Yeah. Yossi doesn't like it.
No.
I'm sorry. I think that that's the idea. Mm-hmm. What?
Sorry for getting off on these answers to the question.
No, but it's just that. Now, let's say there was a person that I heard sing, right? But that person's dead now. And it so happens that so this person's faith, even though I don't find this person particularly attractive, the fact that A, he's dead, and he's a beautiful song, and it's like a religious type of song, does that make it okay to know?
Well, there are people who are lenient for religious songs.
It's not really religious, there's nothing bad.
That doesn't matter. Listen, what am I supposed to say? In theory, the fact that you remember what she looks like should make it forbidden. But somebody just asked before whether there's one of the stricter prohibitions in the Torah. It's not. So, if you really know about yourself that you're not going to have any desire and you're not tricking yourself, then one perhaps can find a place for leniency.
Wait.
What am I supposed to say? I don't know. Most people trick themselves.
Okay. Wait.
Yeah.
Why
not?
Just
Two,
he had his hand up. Yeah.
two questions. Number one is Kolisha and Yiflin. Do you think they made this prohibition not only because a person's going to be intimate, but also because it could cause the physical error? Do you think that's the issue?
Of what?
Physical error.
Otsazel Batola.
Yeah.
It's even less than that. It's not just because of not because they might come to have relations with this woman. It's not because of Otsazel Batola. It's because you're not supposed to have thoughts of Avera.
Well,
whether it comes to fruition or not. What means thoughts of Avera?
Why would you take thoughts of Avera?
You know, a contemporary female rock singer,
yeah,
she wants you to desire her.
What?
Oh, come on. Yes. Madonna, right? What is she dressed like that
she's
for?
She's ugly, Rabbi.
Maybe.
She
yes. So she wants you to desire her.
Fine.
That's the whole problem. You're playing her.
What? But if she just modestly, then what?
It would be less of a problem.
Well,
but you could still want her.
Why?
Why would you?
Because you're still...
Because men are animals.
No,
what
no,
are you
no, no. It's a different time. It's a different time. They didn't have, like, what we have outside this world. We're so desensitized to a woman's voice that when we hear it, I don't think anybody has this inside passion, desire to turn off and
speak for yourself, man.
Back
in
those
days, they
didn't have
all that.
So when they heard the woman's voice, that was the only way they could actually communicate. Like,
there
was so separate that when you hear a woman's
voice,
like, a woman over there.
I just listen,
find it very
attractive.
You can't. There's a what?
The woman's voice is very
attractive. They don't draw distinctions. That's the general principle where the rabbis made a decree, and this is a rabbinic decree.
Yeah.
So they didn't draw these fine distinctions.
What did the rabbis know about?
What do you mean, what they know about these things? What, they didn't? They weren't human beings?
They
weren't,
but they looked like... They were separated the whole body from high
level,
yeah.
The reason why... big rabbis are only big rabbis if they understand human psychology.
That's
just
the
woman's
voice
itself
without knowing what she looks like.
No, only with knowing what she looks like. It's only us if you know what she looks like.
I didn't finish that the voice itself.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't finish what I had to say. I had one more question.
Okay.
I didn't finish. Second question I have, getting back to the Bosco, because it was interconnected.
Yeah.
The thing is that with Bosco, number one is there any opinion that holds that a Bosco is a Ruah? And number two is that every day we hear that there's a Bosco that comes out.
Right.
So what's the point of the Bosco coming out? We came here. Like, what's the point of it? Like,
okay, number one, the Bosco is not a form of Nevuah. Okay, Nevuah is where there's a specific message, right, that which you're supposed to receive. A Bosco is like an announcement. Okay? Number two, the Bali Machshava, among them, Reb Sodek, say that a Bosco is not necessarily a voice which you hear explicitly, but rather it is a message which you receive internally, which doesn't necessarily take on the form of words or the form of a message, but it's a sensation you get.
Sensation.
Like, it says, the sensation, for example, with it says that every day a Bosco comes up from Har Sinai, that causes thoughts of tshuva to well up within a Jewish neshama. In other words, those thoughts of tshuva which you might get during the day, they're from this Bosco.
So it's like the pencil in the shaman.
Well, but no, but it's, in other words, it's literally an echo which echoes from there in your heart.
Oh.
You know, if you think about it, there's...
So can you hear it better when you're in our scene?
No. Because that's not the way you have to have the right antenna to hear it better.
So someone who's not from the radio... Like
in theory, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So
what, first of all, is music without words allowed?
Music without words?
Uh-huh.
I'm not, humming is permissible.
No, it's about
opera.
No,
opera.
Makes you the movie?
I know the movie. I've never seen it, though.
But the sound.
No,
but the sound. Like, it's like trance. So, yeah, it's like trance.
You don't know what the women look like, do you?
There's no voice.
Why not?
So what's the problem?
Trance.
That's the reason.
It's so hyper.
Fine,
second question.
Yeah.
Man singing about a woman.
Man singing about a woman?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Is that like
Grammy? But it's a separate program.
Is
that
love?
No, it's not love.
What is the love song?
That's the point.
How about a cold play?
Are they singing it to the person they love, or they just singing it for the fun of it?
Oh my gosh,
We had this almost verbatim.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Rabbi, to end on a tangent, does it really matter what the sheep that we want to follow or get into, according to all these human beings?
QB is somewhat less vague than that.
See that movie, The Guy, that was out last summer? No, I'm saying, like, all different opinions about, like, what a fox was, what's a ghoul, what's an angel, does it really matter in the end? Like, what sheep we believe? Like, Rama says, no, it's like this, and Rama says that. Does it really matter in the end, like, which way we actually
want to
follow?
Well, you know, from my perspective, since I am a self-styled scholar, so I enjoy scholarship. I enjoy knowing all these things, right? For the average layperson, it makes no difference.
I mean, there's a sense of knowledge.
So if you want to consider yourself a simple layperson, then...
It's from Ishtam.
Baloney. Right, wait.
Baloney.
Yes.
Ishtam,
yeah. So then it shouldn't matter. Okay. Yes, I don't believe you. Yeah.
Quick question. Just to get reminded of it. Is there a Gemara that we keep it going up a palm tree because we saw a woman in the palm tree?
Rabbi Akiva what?
Rabbi Akiva going up a palm tree because it's
not Rabbi Akiva.
What was Rabbi Akiva?
It's Rabbi Amram and he went up in the attic. It's in the end of Kiva.
No.
Thank you more. Rabbi Akiva goes.
Akiva also?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
he went to a palm tree. Why?
Because he used to make fun of like the Chachamim.
Yeah, but he overcame that, Rabbi Akiva.
No, he did. He did not.
Later in life, he overcame that.
At that moment in time, he did.
Right.
Where's that?
Yeah, Kedushin.
So, the question,
I think it's P.S. Etzner who says that a person has to pay attention, and this is, he's very big into meditation. And it's thought control and thought manipulation. The P.R. Tetzner Rebbe. Yeah, so he was one of the great Rebbes who was killed in the Holocaust. So he holds that you can shape your mind, I shouldn't say shape, it's the wrong word, control your mind and train it to have greater sensitivity to this box goal.
On a tangent of that, imagery,
I don't remember exactly, but using imagery and using training yourself to rid yourself of distractions.
How about Kaplan type of stuff,
Jewish meditation type of stuff, yeah.
I couldn't read it.
It's
so hard to read.
Inner space or Jewish meditation?
Jewish meditation.
It was very hard?
Yeah.
Did you get it?
I did, but I haven't started it.
Oh. Okay, really good.
On attention to what Teddy asked, how can I learn on the level of Sun?
What?
How can I learn on the level of Sun?
Not in this issue.
If I knew, I would tell you. Most learning we do, even of Kabbalah, only falls into the parameter of Remez.
Oh wow, really?
What do you mean? If you learn Kabbalah, then you go back and learn Gemara, then would you be learning at a deeper level?
No. Sod means in Pardes, real Sod means that you experience the divine in what you're learning. It's not that you're learning Kabbalah. Learning Kabbalah is only at the level of Remez. The illusions of the text, what it signifies and what it symbolizes, those are all remes. What so is in, wrapped up in intrinsically with experiencing what you're learning.
So wait.
So you understand what I'm saying?
Oh. I have to feel what I'm learning.
Right.
I have to be physically feeling what I'm learning.
That's why the Rivin, when he argues in the Rambam with one or two places, writes that he knows something. Sun halacha, because of sod Hashem li yireyot. what does Sod HaShem L'Rav mean in that context? It means that the level of Sod can be talking about regular halacha, but it is the inner inspiration and sensation of connection with a higher realm that you feel when you're learning that halacha. Why is it so difficult?
What do you mean difficult? Because that sounds like we're never going to get there. That's
you're right, we're never going to get there. So,
what
kind of rem is, you'll be fine. That's good enough.
I was told that somebody you could go to someone that could teach you how to attain the Ruach HaKodesh.
What?
No?
Could be. I've never met that people like that.
It
have
could
you?
Be someone like that, though, right?
It could be, yeah.
I just want to read you.
When a person is reading the Chumash, right?
Yes.
Like he's reading, let's say, the Wuppi Parsha.
Yeah.
And he reads the thing, like that, right? And he reads, and he's really into it, like, he imagines everything, and sees everything. Is that like, is that what you're talking about? Like, he experiences everything? Is that
no.
So?
Well, that's
like
not, no.
The emotions,
no.
The drama.
That can even be called pshat.
Why?
Because
you're in it. You're feeling it.
Because you're not feeling necessarily the divine.
You're feeling the story. You're feeling like the passion of when the sin. Like,
yeah, but you can feel the same passion when you read Tolstoy.
Okay, fine. But this is story.
It's experiencing a relationship to the realm beyond this world.
The person has to come back to this world, I guess, four times, because he has to learn Pshad, Remez, Kol, or something else.
What he meant to say, he's talking about the text themselves, not about... In each text, there's Pardes, right?
Yeah.
And besides that, there are certain texts which are pshat texts, certain texts which are drash, certain with remez, certain which are called sod texts.
Yes.
But that's not really the sod of pardes. The sod of pardes is really the experience.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yes,
there's learning pshat, there's a book which is a book of pshat, uh-huh. And then there's learning pshat. You know, did I ever tell you guys what pshat means? Pshat means I had a Rebbe with Shimon Zeleznik, that's how. He said, I heard this from him, it's a beautiful shot. He said, the word lifshot means to spread out.
Mm.
It means to spread out something. Mm. And he said, if you have a garment which is creased, when you're poshated, that means you're taking out the wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, a sugya, before you start it, is a bunch of wrinkles. Right? And then what you do is you smooth out the wrinkles.
Oh, that's really hard.
That's what you do. So that anything you learn, the first stage should be to smooth out the wrinkles,
mm-hmm.
Right? Then afterwards, drash is to try and see what abstract concept is behind that.
Sort of like places, right?
And remez means when you get to an understanding of the deepest principles which underlie even the abstract thinking. Because there's
the
simple.
That?
What?
Can you give an example?
Yeah, sure. If I talk to you about Baskol, and we talk about what exactly a Baskol is, so there's levels, right? Shot is, there's this voice which comes out, right? Drash is, you know, it's not necessarily a voice, it's this, that, the other thing, it's a feeling, a sensation. Remez would be, in this case, to have an understanding of how this relates to Hashem's communication with human beings. Okay? That's not just, it's not the thing itself. The thing itself is a voice. But what the voice represents, the term of communication, that's the remnant. Okay? And so it would be to actually experience it.
Are there any speakers in there, or anyone that writes? Like,
what?
Is anyone that writes and there's a form like in different levels? Like they take the thing and go through the levels? Or?
I know any sefer which does that.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. It might even sell. But I have never seen any sefer like that.
Yeah. Have you heard anyone speak like that, though?
No.
Like when they give them their...
No.
Really? That
sounds
pretty cool.
Doesn't Mimolis mention some memos?
Yes. But he's saying that your sefer, which takes an issue, and first address them chat rebels, then drash, then remez, then
no,
that's
rabbi bucket.
Yeah,
I mean
rabbi kind of
the best.
Cool. I'm not from that sort of
no, yeah. No,
the rabbi bucket.
Who?
No, no. The bucket. Oh, the rabbi bucket of the Torah. He does that. That's true.
He does
he's
what?
Right. Rabbeinu Bachya very often the Torah Shan Torah will first give you the pshat, then the drash, and then the remez,
and
then he'll give you what he calls as the sod, but it's really, you know, it's the deeper levels of remez until you actually feel it. It's the deeper levels of remez.
He was a student
of the
Ramban.
The Ramban,
right? The Ramban. Isn't
this some of that Rabbi Dar?
What?
That was from
he's the one who wrote the.
I don't. You want a son?
No, a student.
A student, yeah. He was a student of the Rashba, was a Talmud of the Ramban. But I think Rabbein B'chaya might have actually learned by the Ramban himself as well.
Afro.
No, Rishon.
He was
the not. There's a different Rabbein B'chaya.
Oh, no.
Rabbein B'chaya, even B'chuda, and Rabbein B'chaya had Dayana Sfaradi. I don't know if, so...
Rabbein
B'chuda
is the one that did
what? Yeah, actually, yeah, I think maybe it's the same one. And anyway, it's not the same one as the Chumash. It's a different one.
Is it different? Was it the third one for the Chumash?
No, no, there's
no.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder how they work the same.
How what?
Rambam's works and Rashi's works. How would they say?
Manuscripts.
No, I mean, 1,000 years ago, Rabbi, you guys might have to change back in the day, but they did. Like it was, misprinted.
There are lots of misprints.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So how do you manage to keep all that and still. Maybe some works that have Rashi, maybe he meant differently, with his sentence.
We hold that there's Hashgacha, that Hashem is not going to let the Jews make gross mistakes. Minor mistakes, yes, but not gross mistakes.
Wait.
In other words, that he wouldn't give us a Rashi, which is a total distortion. He wouldn't allow that to happen.
How would you assume that?
Because Hashem says Torah is never forgotten. Torah never being forgotten means it's never completely distorted either. That would be the same as forgotten.
You see rabbis fight each other all the time. So how do you explain that?
They don't fight about Rashi, they fight about other things.
No, they fight each other. Rambam hates Rambam.
But they're both... they're both part of Torah.
They're part of Torah, right. But fighting one another is not necessarily the way to put something right.
Why not?
Because it's one way that's right, not two ways.
It's not true. There are 98 ways which are right.
Okay.
The Gemara says, Yerushalmi says in Sanhedrin. Didn't I say this recently?
Nope.
I wasn't sure if you did.
Okay, I'm losing my mind, sorry.
Where's the camera? Where's the camera?
The one in Sanhedrin says, Yerushalmi Sanhedrin says that on every, and this is brought down by the Ritzman Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, on every halacha, Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu 49 ways to say Tameh, 49 ways to say Tor. 49 ways to say Usr, 49 ways to say Musr, 49 ways to say Chaya, 49 ways to say Pusr.
So that means whenever a rabbi comes up with something that something's Pusr, which usually should be considered Chaya, that means they just came up with one.
It's possible. Or he might be a moron. There are two alternatives. Right? But it's possible it's one of the 49 ways of saying that. So Lamaisa. On the contrary, there is no one right.
What's the point of the law if you could just use it however you want to use it? In fact, there's no sound law that is just set down in stone. Because you could say, well, it doesn't apply to me because of my circumstances. You know? Like,
yeah, so the thing
what's
is like
the
this.
Of the law?
That at some point in history,
of the written
at some point in history, there are opinions which once upon a time were considered to be legitimate alternatives are rejected.
Why?
Because there are certain milestones which determined halacha, and we cannot go back to the state which existed previously. There are only very few of them. The Chatimat Shashat, the ending of the Gemara, was one of them. The next one was the ending of Shulchan Aruch. And it could be argued that in certain parts of halacha, the Rambam, not the parts in which the Shulchan Aruch was written, but the other parts of halacha. So in other words, there is once a book is accepted as being a universal work, you can't turn back the clock. Until that time, it was possible, but not anymore.
Somebody told me about this and said that if there is one vision and you find two acronyms and we have the same subject, you can pass them like that.
maybe potentially after Shulchan Aruch.
The one
Rishon
into a
phone. I'm saying before, the Rishon is before Shulchan Aruch, the Akro,
yes.
Main time which is not codified in Shulchan Aruch. That's probably what it means.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine, that's true.
But you just said the one is...
But that's only something which is in Shulchan Aruch. If it's a topic which is not in Shulchan Aruch, Ravadi Yosef has, for example, holds that in the subject Halachic International Dateline, he says since if there's no reference to it in Shas, no reference to it in Rambam, no reference to it in Shulchan Aruch. What? Yes, Kuzari writes about it. We can do as we please. Hi, the Kuzari writes about it. The Kuzari was not one of the Rishonim, which Taito was universally Makabel. What? Mishnah Berurah does not might achieve that status, but not yet.
Doesn't
a lot of people are in Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Chaznish. So the book is still open on Mishnah Berurah. Eventually, it could be that people will stop being able to argue Mishnah Berurah. It could be happening in front of us right now, and that'll be another milestone. But it hasn't fully gotten there.
What about someone who if you find a Rishon who argues on the Rambam?
On the what?
On the Rambam.
That you know, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says that we take it into account. Chazon Ish says we don't take it into account. A discovered Rishon.
Doesn't Moshe speak about the
intellectual
table?
No.
So who speaks about it?
Chazon Ish.
So why?
He says Frank.
So why does the Chazon Ish speak about Moshe and Adachuva?
Because nobody asked for Moshe.
And
yeah.
I have a question now, based on what you said previously. So if we have no more...
It's all your fault. You put us on the tangent. Yeah.
If we lose the last Samaritan in the world, then we go back to have...
Last what?
Last Samaritan in the world. Can we have one day for Yom Tov in the Kuklare?
If we lose the last Samaritan?
Yeah, because I heard that the only reason we do that is because...
Man has messed up the calendar. But that, the catalyst. Once the Samaritans are a small sect which still exists at the very day of people who consider themselves to be the authentic Jews and all of us to be fakers. And well, same like that, except that they've been around since the time of destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. They have a longer history.
Really?
So they
as a group like that.
They have a Sefer, they have their own version of Sefer Torah.
Are they different
they have is it the same Torah Moshe Mishina? Is it like the
it's
same
based on the it's written in ancient in classic Hebrew in ancient Hebrew script.
Ashuri?
Not Ashuri.
They only have a few
hundred
families. They don't have millions of.
And they built themselves a Beit HaMikdash and had Rizim, and every year to this very day they sacrifice Korban Pesach.
Can you go just to see the place like tourist sites and just walk around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except that it's in the West Bank and it's dangerous.
They're
not Jewish from our perspective.
When something is institutionalized, why do we have such great difficulty in just stopping it when the reason for having it goes away?
Because we have no Sanhedrin. We don't have a leadership which can stop it.
If we have a leadership that can like start something, why can't we have a leadership that stops?
What do you mean leadership that starts? Who starts things?
Somebody, they decide to have a 2-day Yom Tov.
Yeah, but that's Chazal.
We can't go against Chazal?
We can.
They say, but they gave us the reason why we're doing
we
this.
We can. Just as
away,
soon
right?
as we have a Sanhedrin, we can go against Chazal.
We do. We have one.
Why don't we have a Sanhedrin?
Right?
Because we don't have the real smicha anymore.
We have a real smicha also. Sanhedrin established it. Hold on a second. I have a question.
No kidding. Yeah.
I'll show you the article.
I don't know.
Who are they? Samaritans.
Oh, because Yoshka, in his, when he wanted to give an example about the of somebody who's a good person, so he said that there was a poor person who was begging along the road from Yerushalayim to Yericho. I don't remember the exact story, I never saw it inside. And Kohen didn't come and help him, and a rich person didn't help him, and a Samaritan helped him. And the Samaritan was good,
Jesus.
And the other people were bad. So he said, he was trying to indicate it was an insult to the run-of-the-mill Jew who was trying to say, we're not help. It was a Samaritan from outside our religion which specifically helped, and who therefore gets rewarded for his the one who's supposed we're supposed to emulate.
My question
so
is
from that the term Good Samaritan came.
So they're not Jews?
No, because it's a big machlokus in the Gemara, and they want to come to the conclusion that they didn't really convert in a genuine fashion. Way back when, their ancestors.
What do they hold?
They hold, we're not Jews.
What do they hold?
The Torah Shmiktah. They follow the written law.
So they're the ones that put
they're not Karaites, they precede the Karaites.
Do they put this still in between?
Nobody does. Nobody does. It's an urban legend.
What? So wait,
there's nobody puts in their eyes. The Gemara says that it's there's a, you know, you might have thought it's put in your eyes, but it's not. That's not what it means.
Rabbi.
Yes, I've seen it too, but not as a shita, not as a
no.
Just by because the guy is was ignorant. But the point, what the Karaites say, is that Vayuta Zos Bein Enecho means it should be symbolically between your eyes.
So
in other words, you should always be, they don't wear any tefillin whatsoever.
Yeah, all these groups,
you
they
don't wear
have them
no.
For very little. So what, do they have 100
tefillin?
100?
700, right? It's got to make you wonder, what do they think about the rest of humanity? But I guess they don't care.
So like they're living in their own world, they think Mashiach
like
already came or something?
They think, no, they're also waiting for Mashiach.
So they have a Mashiach in the meantime. Like the
yeah, but it's in ruins. It's in ruins. They still sat you the altar, but it's in ruins.
A separate place of Mimdash.
Doesn't say in the Torah that the Mimdash is going to be.
Go ahead.
Ask first question, go.
Okay, fine. How did they get the Torah in that script?
There was a time when people thought that, even Tanoim thought they were legitimate Jews. Only later on did they discover that actually they never really converted legitimately in the first place.
Because I was asking because we wouldn't have the kind of script, so how they get it?
There was a time when it was thought that they were legitimately Jewish, and I assume that during that time there was the Gemara is full of halachos about Samaritans. They're called kutim in the Gemara, right? The kutim and kutim had a lot of mitzvahs they did, and then they had the Sefer Torah. The question was all the time: are they doing these mitzvahs as Jews, or is it really some weird similar religion but not the same thing as Judaism? And it was resolved in the end. Those are all Havaminas. But the Maskana was, they're not really Jewish. But that was many, so it was over the course of many hundreds of years, there was controversy back and forth. Were they Jewish or weren't they Jewish?
So,
okay? Now they have been told that they're the only authentic Jews. The rest of us are, you know, imports. So, but we actually assume that they're not Jewish and that they are just took on Jewish customs without ever becoming truly Jewish.
Do you know what ship there?
Well, Chaim, what was it?
Which more is it?
That what?
That's the variant.
All over. No, it's all over Shas.
It's not like specific.
More. No, it's all over Shas. Yeah. The halachos of Kutim is all over Shas.
But so, Rabbi, would the Kutim be the people that Yeshua and then converted?
No. The Kutim, those are the Givonim. The Kutim were the ones who were brought by Sancheirib, when he took the 10 tribes to exile, he believed in transfer of population.
Oh, yeah,
so he
transferred
our people to Afghanistan, wherever they went, and he transferred these people to the Samaria, which was the area where the 10 tribes were. Okay?
So that's how they came.
So this text, it's described at the end of Sefer Malachim in Tanakh. How they came.
The Hebrew text we use, how old is it?
What do you mean?
This text we use right now.
Sure.
The text from the Torah?
Yeah.
It's a Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi.
Why don't we have the old text anymore?
Because the Bavli holds that it was given in this text. I mean, this font, right? This way of writing that we have. and there was a time in history when it wasn't used, and then Ezra came and returned it, right? So really Ezra, the scribe, was the time of the second base of Mikdash, returned it to its original format. According to the Yerushalmi, the Torah is in fact given in the ancient Hebrew alphabet, which is what the Samaritans used. When Ezra came back from Babel, and the restoration of the second temple, so then he enacted that the Torah should be written instead of in ancient Hebrew, probably because the Samaritans were writing in ancient Hebrew, in this newfangled style of writing, which is called Ksav Ashuris, Assyrian. Now, it's not Assyrian. The Assyrians never used this way of writing. No Assyrians ever wrote in the Hebrew which we use today. But it means that when they came back from the Golus of Assyria, they had this way of writing, which they enacted. Uh-huh. By the way, according to this, you can understand, if you hold like the Yerushalmi, the Gemara Menachos, which says that Rabbi Akiva darshan things, which Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, makes a lot of sense.
Wait, what?
Menachos.
Menachos, that's... Uh-huh.
Why? Because Rabbi Akiva darshan tagim, the crowns on top of letters, what they signified. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have tagim, because he had the ancient Hebrew script, which doesn't have those little crowns on top of the letters.
I think that's
a major shabbat.
The way you make tagim is like, it's like a formula. Three on the shabbat gets...
Yes, but the key darshan, correlating to the word in which these letters appeared, what the symbolism was.
Well,
the that's the Bavli.
So he told.
No, but that's the Bavli, the Shitasa, right. The Bavli, I don't think the same one have a good kasha on me.
And he didn't understand Rabbi Akiva's shir.
Could be you're right. Could be you're right.
It
is the same Gemara.
So
scratch what I just said. It's wrong. Because the Gemara is going with the opinion that the Italian did exist at the time, Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, you certainly got it there. Yeah.
It's a midrash, how can you say that?
I can say what?
It's a midrash.
Say,
I think it's a warrant.
What's a midrash?
That he saw the crown of Rabbi Akiva's face afterwards.
In what?
What?
He saw the crowns of Rabbi Akiva's face?
Again, in English. he was doing the crowns, right? Rabbi Akiva made an image of Rabbi Akiva putting the crown. Right? Again. It's no one's Torah, just to measure that he has his vision. That he has Hashem, why isn't he the one?
It's a Gemara Menachos.
It's a midrash, right?
It's a Gemara.
It's a Gemara Menachos.
It's God.
Yeah.
So, can I ask a question about
they're not
what?
True.
Can I ask a question
about
literal?
Yes.
The truth of literal.
The
question goes like this. They're opinion to accepting literally, right? When talk about it, or the midrash, they're like, this is how it happened, no questions asked.
Very few people do that, but yes, there are.
Like Rashi, they accept it literally.
No, Rashi doesn't say everything literally, he quotes it literally.
Fine. But those who do take it literally, how would they explain contradiction with the midrash or Agatha that go against halacha or other prior knowledge? Or when she doesn't make sense?
A different mitzvah.
What?
They would say, either say a different Masorah, or we don't know the answer, but there must be one. That's what they would say.
Wait, if I'm reading, can I just reject the ones that I think are not, like...
You can't reject them.
You can't reject them?
You can say, I don't understand them, and therefore I'm not dealing with them.
Some of them are really far removed from, like, the
yeah, but you don't know. If you read Ma'arau or something like that, how you might find profound secrets there. So you can't say... You know, you want to be an ish tam, you know, you got to say, I don't understand it right now.
I actually read Morrow.
It's quite possible that there's a deeper understanding. Maybe I'll get to it someday, maybe not. But you have to keep an open mind.
I want to get back
to okay, my Morrow is good. My Morrow explains lots of stuff which is strange.
Yeah, I had a question on the Samaritan, one more just question.
Yeah.
The Samaritan,
we did one book tonight.
How come... The Gemara Ketuba says that, and the Gemara Ketuba says that if someone's not honest of Samaritan...
All this, the time Mishnayos,
yeah.
They were still held to be real Jews.
Oh.
Only at the time of the Gemara was it determined that they were not real
well,
Jews.
Well, so that's why he still has to pass like everyone else.
Because they found, somebody went into their Holy of Holies on Har Gerizim and found they had an idol there.
A
bird
of
some sort, yeah.
Is that true?
A 5 minutes ago you said, but it's a rabbi, it's a medrash, and now you're asking me about the Gemara if it's true.
I mean, you said it all the time.
Do we believe or don't we believe?
I'm confused.
You're confused?
Confused.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that?
You said all the time. They just make...
Yes, but they somehow ascertained that they had never forsaken the Avodah Zarah. No, this is an Avodah Zarah that they historically brought over with them when they came over to the land of Israel.
And do we have any text that we know their date and has Hebrew text?
Ancient Hebrew text?
Yes.
The Jews?
Like
no. Only of carving, engraving.
How about Dead Sea Scrolls?
No, Dead Sea Scrolls are in our
from before Ezra?
No, they're from after Ezra.
What are the
we have no writings from Ezra.
What are they?
Before Ezra, we don't have Qumran.
We don't have anything even from as early as Ezra. Our earliest writing.
Is there a way I can learn the ancient Hebrew?
Yeah, yeah. Open up an encyclopedia of Judaica. You'll on the alphabet, you'll find an extensive article there. You can learn it, and you'll find it on stone carvings.
From
the first temple period, and before, because that's what they used. In any event, for their daily, activities.
Seems like a lot of work to ride that.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's more
painful than regular.
Wait,
stuff.
I mean, they're carving it in letter by letter, and it's all intricate design. Like the pay looks like swirly, and they're doing that with a chisel.
Anyways, to this day, who's taking the tunnel tour in the base and made by the Kosa?
I took it.
Okay, so they don't know. We think we're so technologically advanced, we have no clue how they got those huge stones in place.
Right.
They were trying to
carry them in, didn't they?
They couldn't. No, there is no technology to carry stones that weight today.
Yeah.
Much less put them in place.
They
much less.
They would lift them.
What?
I don't understand.
So if you had enough people to fit around it, they can't pick it up still.
Yeah.
You have to be a giant.
Yeah.
No,
so
they
when stone masonry was the way to go, so they knew things which we don't know today.
Hmm.
We lost knowledge. Don't, it's not, it's
these
a...
It's demons.
It's an error. It's an error.
It's an
error.
It's an
error. You know what it is? It's a moron.
So building
the
temple.
Okay, so then that's not...
Wait, Chaim is a...
It's just like Kabbalah, right? For example, there's a lot of things that the Grub brings down, like Maharaj. A lot of them are like deep secrets and whatnot from the foreign Perushim, like... all kinds of gematria. So then, the Quran says that, you would travel all the way to Italy just to learn by Moshe Chaim Lutzado. So he says that, that's really the deal. So then you read, the Masechta Yesharim, and it's just you should acquire humility and be a good guy.
The Masechta Yesharim is the tip of the iceberg of the Ramchal. As a matter of fact, since I was taught Masechta Yesharim in high school, I developed antibodies to the book. I can't really read it.
Why?
Because it was such an unpleasant experience being taught Masechta Yesharim in high school. I just can't stomach it.
What's safer?
That's why I didn't really seriously learn anything in school.
But that's why it's good, right? But you use other Sfarim. Derech Hashem is a little bit deeper, but then there's Sfarim which are much, much deeper.
138
Gates or something like that?
There's a whole series of Sfarim in Kabbalah from the Ramchal, lots of Sfarim.
What about Talmud
Torah? The Kor Sari Ramchal, the Otros Ramchal, the Compendium.
What about
who knows? Rav Kiskei Chochma, that you're referring to.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's very prolific in his Kabbalah, he's very prolific in his Kabbalistic writings too, right?
Right.
So
when the Kor Sari is referring to, wasn't just Masechta Yesharim. Or, alternatively, that he saw the Masechta Yesharim, all those other Sfarim
because
they say that you can do that. They say you can read Masechta Yesharim. I tried it once, but again, I'm the Masechta Yesharim. This is a tragic story. But they say it's possible to learn the Masechta Yesharim and see all the other Kabbalistic works inside it.
Rabbi, wasn't he put in the harem and excommunicated
yes.
and banned again? So how do we
yes.
do this work?
Because those were very, very dangerous times because of Shabtai Tzvi. and therefore people, they made mistakes back then. They put in a cherem people who they shouldn't have put in a cherem.
Well,
why
do I think they made mistakes? Maybe they were right.
Not me. I can't know, but the Gra knew.
The Gra says everything that's the word.
No, not true.
The Gra says
what you
say. No, we learn Chassidus nowadays. The Gra is not the final word.
Okay.
But I'm saying like this, the Gra is, has credibility.
You never see them go by the Gra.
Yeah.
Today.
The pyramids. The pyramids. Who built them?
We did.
Egyptians.
The Egyptians.
No.
This is a trick question.
No, because I'm asking because first there's two of them, right? There's two pyramids?
There's one.
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of pyramids.
Ah, fine. So if we're surprised by the fact that the Jews built the Megiddo with a big rock, so how do you explain those pyramids? They're also
the
ocean. Complex as well.
Pyramids don't have those kinds of
rocks.
But pyramids don't have those size rocks. But that's not Kasha. The same Kasha you have in Beit HaMikdash, you have in the Egyptians. I'm not saying that. I say it was miraculous. No, I believe that they had technology, which we're not saying. The Egyptians also had technology.
Did they use metal? Did they use metal?
Yes.
They did? So what's the whole
thing now? Canals cut stones on site.
Oh, but you can bring them.
You can bring cut stones.
But how do you nail something in? You don't nail anything? There are no nails in the
door?
It's not cutting.
Yeah,
but you don't, yeah, don't nail,
there.
You don't nail stones.
Why do they need the shamer?
What?
Why do they need the shamer if they can cut them off site and then bring them in?
Because obviously for work on site they wanted to have the shamir available.
The big thing wrong with the
shamir. You know,
what?
To fit something in, you know, I don't know exactly when they would have to do it. What?
Well, how much stones do you make would you eat?
Yeah. Well, you think
it's a long way to go to capture the king of demons.
Yeah, but it's a cool story.
Why is the Kazari not learned more today?
It's boring.
What?
Boring.
Boring.
The first part is not boring, but it gets boring later on.
Yeah,
really. What
is
the
Kazari? Very boring.
I'm telling you what my experience was. But you're right. Maybe you should be learning more.
There's so many important time out there that people like underlearn and people overlearn like stuff that's not necessarily so relevant.
That's
so
true, but we have this principle that different people are turned on by different sforums, and you can't dictate to somebody which sefer is going to be inspired by that person.
I was reading.
That's why in Musar and Machshava, unlike in learning Gemara, a lot of times we prefer the Achronim, one of the reasons. We prefer the Achronim to the Rishonim. Because in Gemara, you don't have to find a book which talks to you. You have to understand what's there. You don't have your choice. But when Musa, you have to find a book which talks to you. Otherwise, it's useless.
Yeah. The Rambam has the book A Guide to Complex about Muslims, about the day that was called.
The Mona Ruchim?
The Mona Ruchim, yeah.
It's more about philosophy than it's
about. But the Mona Ruchim, I don't say it was for simple people in today.
No, it's not.
No?
Hana, read the introduction.
I read the introduction. I don't want
it's to not
the introduction.
Okay.
I don't want to say, I'll read the book.
So the Rambam then accomplished his purpose.
What was the purpose?
The purpose is to drive away people who are not profound philosophers.
So
he only wanted philosophers to read it.
So how do people
who are not a philosopher?
According to Rambam, in order for you to read the book, it has to be know the shot, and besides knowing the shot, you also have to know all of the.
It doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't say no shot.
Since it's been profound. It was a student that was learning this. It
yeah, but it's.
I
don't remember. I don't remember. It says you have no shots. Yeah, I think you have to be learned, but I don't think shots. And you have to know all of shots.
I
don't think so. But maybe you're right. In any event, that's fully understand it. We don't always obey. If you have an author, do you always obey what the author tells you?
No.
I can read a book and despite what the author wants me to do, I can look at the last page first. Right?
I wouldn't close hands on it. I mean, I want to say, well, this is what he said.
What do you mean? I looked at the last page. I know it comes out.
Okay, but you don't understand why he said what he said, because you don't have the prerequisite.
Who are you to tell me that?
It's like you read something on the website that says, if you take this medicine, you could treat this disease, right?
If you don't like what I have to say, don't disagree with me.
Wait, but what you don't
it's
know
free country.
Is the background information. The prerequisite. You have to check the back of the person's history. Let's say that they have high blood pressure, they have diabetes. Before at first it's like you go and buy a medicine that you think it will work, but if you don't know the background information, you'll kill the guy.
Maybe. But here, the assumption is that everybody, when it comes to books, most people had can have an understanding. It's matter, not a matter of life and death.
It is. That's why it was banned.
Yes, but nevertheless, it's not a matter of life and death in the same way. So therefore, we assume that if a person has a rudimentary knowledge, he'll get a rudimentary understanding of Mordechai Bucham, despite what the Rambam says. And if he really wants to understand it, of course, he must have a greater knowledge. But you can read and say, Maseilas Yesharim was written, for example, there's one of many problems I have always had with the Yesharim is, what chutzpah is it for me to get to say, go from Shai's youth and read Shai's Rizus? I'm not, who says I'm ever going to get back to past the Hebrews, the first Shah? I'm ready reading about Zerizos, the next Shah? And I'm going to go even further? Nikias? This is all stuff which is beyond, way beyond me. And yet people learn the Maseilas Yesharim from beginning to end. Right?
You don't have to actually implement everything as you read it.
Sorry?
You don't have to implement everything as you read it.
The Ramchal intended you to do so.
You don't have to, you can just keep it in
okay,
mind.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Fine, that's the point. I'm just saying, you know, so people don't respond. That's like
okay,
the way the author
intended.
But
then when you have a kasha, then it's not really a kasha. When you have a question, when you have a focus, you have a problem with it.
It might be, but you're right.
You can't have a problem
right.
with it. You just have to take it. Okay.
And that's why they realized they made a mistake with the Mordechai Bucham. Just because they didn't understand it doesn't mean it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I have to stop. Again, I want to ask, I need three people tomorrow night at 10:15.
We'll go to Fuku, we'll come back.
You don't have to come back just for me. It's not that...